Hello and welcome to another episode of The One Where I Met Your Mother, a podcast about friends and how I met your mother. I'm David.
I'm Natalie.
And how are you doing?
I'm doing okay. We had, yesterday was the 4th of July.
I love how...
At the time of recording.
I know, I love how committed we are to dating these episodes, even though we know it won't go up for like 2 months.
Yeah, yeah.
Gives you it's going to be a Labor Day.
And time and place.
Gonna, yeah, exactly.
To know where our heads are.
Yeah, but it's, it's currently 4th of July weekend.
Yeah.
And we're, off of work for the day, doing a Monday record.
Recording on a Monday, a little peek behind the curtain, but we normally record on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's interesting to listeners.
It's all different now.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen?
Yeah. Yeah. If this one's a little low energy, it's because we must have a case of the Mondays.
Yeah, that's true.
But today we watched season one, episode 11 of both Friends and How I Met Your Mother. The episodes are respectively named The One with Mrs. Bing and The Limo. But we're going to start by talking about season one, episode 11 of Friends, The One with Mrs. Bing. And this one has a... I don't know how weird this is, but the episode's main story, I think, is about... Mrs. Bing, about Chandler's mom. But it starts, the cold open has nothing to do with that. The cold open is Phoebe and Monica at a newsstand, and there's a hunk,
mm-hmm.
like a GQ hunk.
Reading the newspaper.
Yeah, they eventually think maybe he's a lawyer who teaches sculpting on the side and can dance. We'll get to that in a little bit. But Phoebe essentially like dares Monica to whistle at him,
yeah,
like Wolf was, but she doesn't whistle. No. I don't know if maybe Courtney Cox is like a David here, like can't whistle.
Maybe.
And so instead of whistling, she goes,
woo,
whoop, whoop,
woo, woo,
which causes him to stop and then get run over by an ambulance, which is also making a siren noise, which I feel like is a funny, like...
It was very funny.
Yeah, it's a very funny cold open, and then I love it even sticks with, because then even after the like credits, it's still Monica and Phoebe in the room in the hospital room with the man who's in a coma, and they're like, this is where they're making up. They're like Barb and Star inventing Trish.
Yes.
They're like making up this.
They create like this narrative about his life and who he is,
and that he's just a wonderful man.
Yeah,
that he can listen. He's a listener.
Yeah.
But then we get to the actual heart of the episode. The whole gang is over at Monica and Rachel's to watch Jay Leno, who, as he did, I swear, Jay Leno must have done as many appearances as himself in movies and TV
anything.
As he did actual like Tonight Show
totally.
Episodes.
Yep.
So here he's they're watching the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. And his guest is Nora Bing, who's a world famous romance novelist and is also Chandler's mom and played by Morgan Fairchild.
Yeah, it's funny that her name is Nora Bing because she's a very Nora Roberts type author.
Oh, that must be the reference that I went right over my head.
Yeah. Well, I'm just getting that now, but that's the type of author, like just super pulpy romance novels targeted to women, like, and just lowest denominator as far as writing style. I think it's mocked.
I mean, they definitely mock this kind of writing.
Yeah.
But they mock it, I think.
Euphemisms.
Yeah. But I think within the world of the show, which is never mentioned, I guess it's early enough in the show that it's not that weird that we didn't know that Chandler's mom was a famous author.
We're still learning about, we don't know a lot of their parents. Like, we haven't met a lot of their parents.
I guess we've just met the Gellers on a couple of occasions already. And we've heard a lot about Phoebe's family.
And we've heard a few things about Joey's family.
And we learned more about Gloria Tribbiani, that she was a handsome woman.
Yeah.
In this one. And then I guess we know that Rachel's dad cut her off when she was a runaway bride.
Yeah.
So we know a lot about them, but we haven't met that many of them. This is the person we met. I was surprised. This is like seems like a big enough thing about the character that I was surprised that I didn't know this. I didn't know that Morgan Fairchild was going to be on the show as Chandler's Mom. I didn't know that Chandler's Mom was supposed to be a famous, like, I feel like I've picked up a lot about the show, and this seems like a big enough deal that I'm surprised that this was all a surprise to me.
There will be more revealed about Chandler's family. I don't know if
that's what I said, right, Chandler? Or did I say Joe? Okay.
Yeah, there'll be much more revealed about Chandler's, that it gets very, very difficult, problematic.
Problematic.
Yeah.
More importantly, Paolo is back.
Paolo's back.
Paolo's back from Rome, and he's just hugging and kissing and licking all up on Rachel. What? Nora even calls him the Italian hand licker.
Yeah. No, it's just gross.
Yeah, they're gross. A lot of PDA between Rachel and Paolo.
Yeah.
Paolo knows who Norbing is.
Yeah, naturally, because he's like a very Fabio type character.
Oh, right. He maybe has appeared on the cover or been the model for a cover of a Norbing.
That's his whole style.
What else? Let me get back to the two storylines kind of share equal time, because we get back to Mary. Sorry, I said Mary. I got ahead of myself reading my notes. To Monica and Phoebe.
The while you were sleeping storyline.
Yeah, but there's a montage to the tune of Mary Wells, My Guy.
Yes.
Which is why I was saying Mary. I like that. Then we get to a super fun looking Mexican restaurant.
Mm hmm.
You and I were literally just today talking about how much we like a dim Mexican restaurant.
Yeah. Like big, gross plates of like too much food.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like dark and like kind of red hued.
Yeah, you got to do red hued. This place had a lot of booths,
like booths that like are always like sticky somehow.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't catch the name of the place. Were you able to catch it when Ross opened the menu? You could see it, and
it was called like just Mexican Cantina.
I felt like it started with a T. Like it was like, I don't know.
Maybe. And they were drinking
not El Torito. That's an actual
restaurant,
which might have gone out of business.
All
the ones around here closed. Like, the Burbank El Torito is now a Chick-fil-A.
Is there still Acapulco? That still exists.
So Acapulco and El Torito were both owned by the same
people. Were they?
People,
okay. I didn't know if they were.
But I don't know if they all went out of business. But I'm pretty sure they were both owned. Or are both. We could have looked this up. Who knew we were going to talk about specific SoCal sit-down Mexican restaurant chains?
Yeah.
But yeah, I missed that Burbank El Torito right there by the where the Chick-fil-A is now.
Yeah, there's an Acapulco that was in Sherman Oaks that I would go to for happy hour.
Well, the Acapulco in, I guess that's, I don't know if that's Los Feliz. It's not, it hasn't been there forever.
Right.
But do you remember that one?
No.
It was like, I guess kind of near where like, I guess kind of near the Vista over there.
Yes, yes, yes. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, it had like a dance club in the middle.
Yes.
So all the seating was like in
surrounding,
but it was like glass wall. So it was like a, you could be sitting having a normal dinner and there'd be like a dance club and you'd hear like and see people dancing, but then you're just in like a family Mexican restaurant. It was a weird setup.
It's a very strange setup. Also closed down is your favorite Chevy's.
I've said before, we're so far off topic. I love this. My entire life, my favorite food, pretty much my entire life, has been tacos. Mm-hmm. But what a taco is in my mind has changed as I've gotten older.
Shifted because you had the hard shell.
Yeah, gringo. So I would have started with like Taco Bell tacos, essentially, even like Jack in the Box tacos, you know, like very gringo stuff. And then it would have like, so probably like my middle school into high school years is when I started getting into Chevy's, or there was another chain in St. Louis where I grew up called Casa Gallardo.
Like Tex-Mex style?
Chevy's is Chevy's became more Tex-Mex. I don't know. They kind of changed their thing, but they started as being like Tex-Mex, but then do you remember it was Chevy's Fresh-Mex was what they were called, because that was as they started to dwindle, which there still are a lot in like the San Jose, like Santa Clara County area, because that's where they're from.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no more Chevy's around here. There might still be one in Vegas, because there's one of everything in Vegas.
Right.
Or Victorville on the way to Vegas.
Yeah, magical place.
But yeah, so like, late middle school, early high school years, Chevy's was like my favorite restaurant.
Yeah. It's very funny.
And you and I continued to go to the Chevy's again in Burbank. We don't live in Burbank, but a lot of
close enough
chain restaurants are,
yeah,
it's the closest.
We went for your birthday once or twice.
Yeah. I guess we did go for my birthday. Yeah.
Which is funny.
I'm not embarrassed. I love doing corny shit for my birthday.
I love the chips there.
So we're way off topic, but I like this restaurant. I like Ross doing shots.
Yeah, I think they're all doing shots.
Yeah, but Ross did a bunch.
Yeah.
Which I was going to mention a line that he says, but it's my funniest moment.
That's one of mine as well.
What I don't think we... I find... repeated this is the problem I think about doing a podcast like this about a show that has the same identity for hundreds of, like, right. I feel like I'm gonna repeat myself with like things I like and things I don't like. I feel like Friends has this problem where it feels like the narrative beats or the character beats or the emotional stuff feels kind of perfunctory and phoned in. But I don't mind that much because the jokes are there.
Right.
So again, here I feel like we're told that Chandler has this difficult relationship with his mother, but I feel like we don't really, the show doesn't do a good job of selling it at first, but then the central event of the episode happens.
Okay. So like the storyline or like the storylines are a delivery system for the jokes. So it's,
So
jokes for a storyline is kind of like afterthought in your mind.
That's how, and I think that's kind of a more like classical sitcom way of doing things. Yeah. And maybe I'm just like, those of us who came of age after like, I don't know. What are the first like landmark, like single cam sitcoms? Like obviously How I Met Your Mother is also multicam, but I'm trying to think what was like the like Malcolm in the Middle maybe was like, the Wonder Years.
Wonder Years certainly, yeah.
I think there is, it's not actually true that you can say like, oh, all single cam sitcoms are written this way and all multicams are this way. Like you can have a show like Modern Family that's a single cam but very much feels like a stagey multicam in the way that the jokes are written and delivered. And on the other hand, you have something like How I Met Your Mother, which is a multicam but has a more like sort of distinctive like oddball single cam type of perspective in my view.
Okay.
So it's not a clear breakdown, but Friends does seem like a classical multicam in that what you're saying. It's like
a delivery.
It's veteran joke writers or people who write like veteran joke writers, like doing setup punchline jokes first. And I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
But I do think sometimes when you try to sell like, oh, Chandler's so embarrassed about his mom and we don't really get it, like her whole thing is like, I gave my son his first condoms. Mm-hmm. Like that's, and maybe this is also like a just a the show being dated, like that doesn't seem like that big a deal,
right? No, absolutely not. That seems like the least thing you could, like, of course you should give your son condoms.
I mean, my mom didn't buy me condoms, but yeah,
maybe, but that's like the bare mins of like what you should be doing for your sons.
Yeah. He shouldn't be so embarrassed by that. But then again, like I said, this is all leading up to the central event of the episode, which is that a drunk and sad Ross shares a brief kiss with Nora.
Yes.
Because she's trying to comfort him. And also she's not just comforting him, she's enabling him by telling him he's the hero.
Yes.
And he, like, from a modern perspective where we can see how problematic Ross is and his like entitlement when it comes toward Rachel,
yes,
what Nora is telling him here is the worst possible thing.
Into him. Right. Yeah. Right. Which kind of like fits with who we're to believe more, the kind of person that, you know, Mrs. Bing is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there was two lips, as they said in the episode.
Right. Yeah.
But I feel like the onus was more on her. Ross was clearly like intoxicated, like super sloppy drunk, just like pathetic, waiting around the bathroom. Like as Chandler's mother, she should not have done that.
Let me ask you this, because I don't fully get the backstory. Did Chandler and Ross go to college together? Is that how they know each other?
Yes.
My question.
They went to high school together. No.
Chandler, I thought Chandler didn't go to, because no. Ross went to high school with
they
Monica and Rachel.
Yes, yes.
But I guess what I'm getting at is, I wonder how long has Nora known Ross, and does that make it even creepier to think that she like knew him when he was like 19 or whatever?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. All right. Next morning, because Joey sees this happen, so next morning Ross like shows up at the apartment trying to tell Joey don't tell Chandler or whatever. Joey's in his bathrobe, then. Rachel and Paolo come out, and Rachel's in her like satin robe. It's a little like bathrobe party in the hallway.
Yeah.
I liked that, and then more PDA there. I love the. We talk about the good joke running, or I talk about the good joke writing, the runner about the racquetball plans and how like that they kept making racquetball excuses to like three different people, but their story progressed to where like. When Monica's like, what are you doing here? Or Joey just says, he's not even wearing a jockstrap. Liked that.
Yeah.
I liked the way that joke built a lot.
Yeah.
Once again, you've got the, in the transition back to Coma Guy, you've got the bad, like, music. Ska interstitial
music. Oh, yeah. That one is used all the time.
Yeah, I don't like it.
It's really bad, yeah.
It sounds like The Police, whom I don't like to begin with.
Yes.
And it sounds like a bad version of The Police.
Yes, exactly, like that.
And I don't even like The Police to begin with. All right. Ross, just to make an attempt at being an even worse guy, eventually tries to lie to Chandler that Paolo kissed his mom.
Yeah.
I'm glad he abandoned that, because that's even worse.
Yeah.
But then that leads to a big confrontation between the three male, or among the three male leads, in which again, you get a good running joke with them being like, just let me slam the door my way out.
Yeah.
Like,
let me be mad. Let me slam the door.
Yeah. And so first Chandler does it, and then Joey like is about to go out the door, and Ross to say something, and Joey's like, it just like points at the door and then slams it.
Yeah. And this is, you know, the rare, like Joey's kind of like the voice of reason, good guy, you know, normally he's kind of like more played as just kind of like, oh, he's kind of shitty.
See, I think they're developing this character with Joey where he's like, yes, kind of dumb and kind of a horn dog,
but like a sweetheart.
Yes. Like a reliable friend.
And I think that's where, you know, that really came into play in this episode, because he wanted everyone to be honest. He knew it was wrong. He was telling Ross it was wrong. It's like breaking the code. But you would think, as like the hornball he is, he'd be like, yeah, score, like sweet, like made out with a hot mom, you know, but no, that's not him. He's actually a really good friend.
Yeah. All right. Sorry.
Are we on to funniest?
my other podcast, Battleship Retention, Tyler and I just like talk, you know, I have like so many notes, and then like, you'll say something that'll be like, I got to address that later. Like,
throw you
and then
off.
I have to do like the, you know, how are we doing segment and stuff. Like there's so much that I have to like keep going on my phone while I'm talking, that I feel like every once in a while just to be like, duh, while I like finish typing something.
Well, you could write it on paper like me.
Or, oh, what a great transition. Or like Rachel, who apparently decides to start writing her own romance novel longhand on like a on a legal pad.
Right.
I mean, computers existed in 1994.
Well,
if not, you could get a word processor.
I think she ended up typing.
Yeah, she did print it out at the end.
Yeah, so she started just on paper,
all
but
the typos.
Then
yeah.
Typed it out.
But I don't like the... I liked... So there were, two categories of jokes around Rachel's attempt. One was the, like... I can't remember, like, euphemisms for penises, and then, like, Monica being like, there's no J in engorged. I didn't like the dumb, like, G-rated sex jokes. I did like the second batch of jokes, which is just that she can't spell anything and everything
is
misspelled.
I think that this will come up in like the running jokes, but like Rachel being bad at everything she tries is like really kind of sad and unfair to her character.
Right. But I guess it's in keeping with a character who's never had to do anything for herself up until.
I agree. But like she should be competent at least. I think we'll get there, because she ends up like getting, we'll see.
We're like you said, like, I mean, like you pointed out with, there's still things about
but
the parents.
But she can't even spell penis. Like, it's just silly that it's like, oh, like, let's make a mockery of this person who's bad at her job. She can't spell. Like,
yeah. But I guess, okay, now I'm going to defend Rachel. It's not that she can't spell penis. Maybe she doesn't know how to use spell check on a computer. Because if she spelled it pens, I guess spell check wouldn't even catch pens.
Right.
She just needs to learn to proof.
Or if she's on a typewriter, maybe
the eye sticks or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, she just needs to proofread. But I just thought the misspelling jokes were just funny.
Yeah.
Heaving beasts, niffles.
Yeah.
All right. Then finally, we get Chandler has the confrontation with his mom. Joey's listening at the door. He watches through the people, which made me think of the Seinfeld. Like, he needs a reverse people right, to like
right.
try and see, so they're not like tiny and upside down and walking backwards and
yeah.
everything.
And the joke was like, okay, they're walking backwards. Oh no! And like clearly they're right at the door.
My other. Almost made my funniest moments thing are just like, we should do like a funniest, like, did you catch this moment? So Joey like runs up the stairs and then when Chandler and Nora come out, Ross is just like,
he's inspecting the mold. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is like, it made me think like, okay, Ross is good at physical comedy. Like, he's a very physical actor. But that was so funny to me. And it reminded me just of, they don't have cell phones, because in any other scenario, you would take out your cell phone and pretend to be looking at it, which is what we all do. So like picking out a weird, like, hallway wallpaper, like, what else are you going to do with your hands?
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that's true on How I Met Your Mother. They don't have smartphones yet. They have cell phones, as will come up in this week's episode. But, we're still 2 years away from the iPhone.
Yeah.
All right. So should we, let's move on to funniest moment. I will go first, as we do with Friends, and you go first on How I Met Your Mother.
Okay.
My funniest moment, as I kind of teased that earlier, is after Ross has done a bunch of shots, he's holding the shot glass up to his eye and he says, anyone want me to appraise anything?
Yeah, that was mine too.
Okay.
But I had another one.
Good.
It's not as funny as, like, more about the delivery was funny when, Chandler finds out that Joey knew about the kiss. Chandler says to Joey, you knew about this? And Joey, like, in his Joey ways, says, knowledge is a tricky thing, which is, like, so unlike Joey. Yeah. Just, like, his delivery was really funny.
Yeah. I kind of wasn't mad at Joey for
not saying anything.
For that. You kind of, like, because Ross is his friend, too.
He was giving him an opportunity to be honest. It was just, like, timing.
That's a good way of.
And then there was a lot of funny gags, like, you kissed my best Ross.
Oh, yeah.
You're a mother kisser.
But no, what did Ross say? He was like, I kissed Nora or Mrs. Mom or your Bing.
Yeah, exactly. And also, it was very sweet, like, when, you know, after Ross was honest and, you know, Chandler gave him the silent treatment for a while and was really pissed off at him. It's like the one of the last scenes where, like, Chandler comes in and says, hey, and Ross says, you mean that? Like, it was kind of a sweet, like, male friendship moment.
Yeah.
Like, just saying hey was, like, there's so many things that actually said. You know, there's a lot of subtext to that hey.
Yeah, I like that. That's very nice.
Yeah, very nice.
Should we do Friends but make it fashion?
Yeah.
I'm going to pick for most of them it's at the starting at Central Park when we didn't even talk about I completely left out the resolution to the coma guy story, which is that Monica and Phoebe start, like, competing.
Right.
And then he wakes up and is like, I feel like in a completely defensible way, it's just like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But they're not arguing with him. They're arguing with the man they'd invented in their heads.
Did you get a little grossed out that, like, there was a joke that they changed him? Like, they changed his clothing at some point, which
they
is
shaved him.
Yeah. So creepy in the same way that While You Were Sleeping was gross and creepy. This man doesn't know them. They don't know this man and they're undressing him. And that's gross.
But Phoebe sings a song about him at Central Park. And in that scene, Ross is wearing a very, I think, smart looking, like, light gray tweed jacket over, like, a shirt that I would describe as Merlot. With no tie. It's a good color combo. The jeans are a little 90s. the style of jeans is a little 90s. But also, speaking of his shirt being like, you know, Merlot or being the head color, in the same scene, Chandler's wearing a shirt that's like burnt sienna. Like, they both look like, they look like Saul Goodman. Like, remember how Saul Goodman would wear like bright colored shirts? That's very, very 90s.
Well, that jacket might be a contrast to the typical David Byrne Stop Making Sense suits that Ross wears.
Yes.
They're comically large. And I guess
Ross, I mean, Chandler wears.
No, Ross.
Ross does. Okay.
In this episode, I mean, just so ill-fitting. Like, the pants are big, the jacket is too big. It's absurd. I also noticed
the time. Yeah.
It's also cold out, so there are lots of hats in the beginning scene. Both Monica and Phoebe are wearing hats, which I thought were cute. Also, robes. There are a lot of robes because we have like a lot of like morning scenes.
Yeah, I pointed out the bathrobe party in the hallway.
Yeah, bathrobe party in the hallway, hats, and yeah.
So are there any running jokes or motifs that I didn't pick up on?
We've talked about the strange, like branded food choices. Did you notice the Häagen-Dazs like blurred out? It was clearly Häagen-Dazs coffee.
I didn't notice.
But the Häagen-Dazs was blurred out, and I thought it was funny that he was eating coffee flavored ice cream. Like, these people are so obsessed with coffee. It's like, I need coffee even when I'm eating ice cream. Yeah. And I thought that was a funny touch. And then
they drank more often, they'd drink like coffee stouts
or like Kahlua.
Bailey's.
They had just like generic microwave popcorn when they were watching the Jay Leno interview. Yeah,
and it had like a weird font. It said microwave in like RoboCop lettering. Yeah. Did you notice that?
Yeah, yeah. But I did notice very much. It was like so clearly Häagen-Dazs.
That's very funny.
So the choice to make, I don't know. It was just like a funny props to the prop department, I guess. I'll have to say. Okay.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Should we move on to a recap of How I Met Your Mother, Season 1, Episode 11, The Limo?
The Limo, yes. So
walk us through it.
So it's New Year's Eve, going into 2006. So Ted comes up with this idea to rent a limo so they could all be together and party in style.
I was going to ask you, I was trying to decide, should I wait till the end? Or should I ask you, do you remember New Year's Eve 2005 into 2006?
How old would I have been? No, I don't.
I only remember it because it was my first New Year's Eve in Los Angeles.
Oh.
And it didn't go. I went to a house party, which I went to the first two or three years. I went to this like house party in like the Eagle Rock Hills.
I think I stayed home with my sister.
Yeah.
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 That was that time.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Would have been home.
Yeah, I had a bad time at a house party. Got into an argument with my date.
Tell me about this.
Why would I tell you
about
single argument I got into with an ex-girlfriend once?
But I feel like we talk about so many things, it would have come up.
Yeah, I never, no.
We're going to talk about this later.
We're probably not. I can tell you now, it was, I was, like a lot of people who moved to Los Angeles, I did not like it at first. Yeah. It took, you know, I'd been warned it'll take 3 years. I would say I was maybe a quick study. It took me about a year and a half to like it here. I would say like early 2007 is when I started to like Los Angeles.
It's also a really tough place to be broke. And I know that you didn't have a lot of money. And I feel like everything is so much money, and just like the gas money, because you have to drive everywhere. And yeah, everything is fucking expensive, especially on New Year's Eve. But I was thinking like, how fun would it be now to like get a limo? Like, I thought that this would, it's a really nice thing that he did for his friends.
Do you want to hear more of this New Year's Eve?
Oh, yes. I thought
what I was saying is I didn't like it. And I was basically, all my friends were still in Chicago, except for a couple friends I had here. And I spent so much of the night on the phone with my friends in Chicago saying like, Happy New Year's, what are you guys doing? Or whatever. That's what my date and I fought about, was that I wasn't like there with her. I was like talking to people on the phone back in Chicago.
Yeah. Like you had one foot out the door. You weren't like present with her.
Cause I was still very much missing Chicago at that time.
Yeah. I'd be pissed too.
Yeah. And I was 23. I was 23.
Yeah.
I was an idiot.
Yeah. I would have been at home, with my sister and my nephew, and I'm trying to think, maybe I had a few people over. There were some like gatherings in the garage if it was quiet, because my nephew would have been an infant.
Yeah.
So,
Happy New Year.
Yeah. Happy New Year. Okay. But this was a theme of like, New Year's Eve is kind of like frustrating. There's so much pressure to like have someone to kiss and to make it fun and go to all the parties and have all the fun. So it was a nice thing for him to do, to get this limo for his friends so they could party in style. They have 5 parties to go to in 3 hours.
Not enough time. In New York traffic?
Yeah.
On New Year's Eve?
Yeah. So the limo driver is our old friend Ranjit.
Ranjit, yes.
Yeah, who is like the best part of the show, or this episode at least, in my opinion.
Was it Marshall's Afraid? I hope this isn't taking your funniest
moment. It is. There were a few funny ones, but okay. So their goal is to hit up these 5 parties. Ted has a date. It's a coworker of his named Mary Beth, and
played by Kathleen Rose Perkins, who was the stylist. She played the stylist Priscilla, who hired Linz on You're the Worst.
Yes. She was like she was very familiar. Good call.
I had to look it up, but yeah, she looked familiar to me, and I looked it up, and she was, you and I pretty recently watched
You're the Worst.
Or I watched You're the Worst for the first time. You rewatched it with me, and she was, the stylist that Lindsay worked for about a season, half a season maybe.
Yeah. They get Mary Beth, and he thinks that she's into him because she's always like finding excuses to hug him, but it turns out she's just a hugger. She hugs everyone, and everyone says, "You're friendly." Cause she hugs literally everyone.
I like that about her. I like Mary Beth.
Yeah. So throughout the night, the parties are all kind of bad. Like the first party, the only thing good about it is the pigs and blankets, and Barney meets Natalia, who is Ukrainian or Russian, Eastern European, like thick accent.
Yeah.
And then the group kind of separates. So Robin leaves because she is dating Derek,
which I'm guessing is the same rich guy she went to the fundraiser with.
Which you don't see, though. Like, you just see his, like, arm in the limo. Yeah, but
here we actually see him.
But, yeah, we see him. So she leaves. At one point, Lily's shoes hurt her so bad. So she leaves, and then Marshall leaves, and then they get hot dogs. So it's not anything as Ted planned the night to be. And then they see who they think is Moby. Which is, turns out to not be Moby.
Yeah, he's played by an actor named J.P. Manu, who, speaking of TV shows you and I watched during the pandemic, he was a congressman on Veep.
He also looked familiar.
But he also, I didn't watch Community.
Yeah, he was the principal.
No, that's a different guy.
The dean?
No, that's a different guy who was also a bald guy.
Huh.
Different actor entirely.
Wow.
But this guy also appeared on Community, according to IMDb, as a character known as Phoebe. So apparently looking like Moby is this guy's
he's
like
made his whole career out of not being Moby. So he gets in the car and he ends up like pulls out a big giant gun. They're all scared. He invites them to a party. They decline. Lily ends up at the not Moby Party.
Because it turns out that was the fourth party on their list. I didn't realize it.
Yeah. So yeah, all the parties fail miserably.
I do like that, with the exception of the not Moby Party, which we only see because Lily's on the phone, mm-hmm. we don't actually see any of the parties. That pretty much the entire episode takes place
in the limo.
In the limo. Yeah. I really like that.
Yeah. Or, yeah, just outside of it. So, oh, okay. Another funny thing was the Get Psyched mix. So Barney makes a playlist, and I don't know what else is on the playlist except for Bon Jovi Shot Through the Heart, which plays over and over again as kind of a...
Yeah. Do you want to know what else is on the playlist?
Because
I looked it up.
Yes, please. I was hoping that you'd know. Okay.
Yeah. Weirdly, so there are 11 songs. Oddly, You Give Love a Bad Name, which he's just written as being by BJ, is track two. So I guess he's just starting with track two. Track one is I Want to Rock, Twisted Sister.
Okay.
Track three is Lick It Up by Kiss.
Okay.
Track four is Paradise City by GNR. I'm just writing it as Bernie had it listed, GNR.
Wait, is it Whitesnake? Is Whitesnake on
there? There's no Whitesnake.
Okay. Doesn't it seem like Here I Go Again would be on there?
Yeah, there's one that's very similar to that. Maybe you will guess it by the end. If you could think of other songs like that.
Like that?
Yeah. Dancing With Myself by Billy Idol.
Okay.
Rock You Like a Hurricane by Scorpy. That's how he has it written. Panama by Van Halen.
Ugh, I hate Van Halen.
I don't like Van Halen either. If there's a Van Halen song I like, it's Panama, though.
I guess.
I don't really like him, but like Van Halen at all. But yeah, that song, I get why that would psych somebody up.
Right, okay.
Number 8, Talk Dirty to Me by Poison. Number 9...
Cherry Pie?
No. Number 9 is Thunderstruck by AC/DC.
Okay.
Number 10, we're rounding it out with two hair metal songs. I don't know if you want to take any more guesses. You've been sort of stabbing around the area.
No, just tell me. It'll take too long.
Dr. Feel Good by Crew. That's what he has written here, by Crew. And then track 11, Round and Round by Rat.
Yeah,
doesn't it seem like you were really close to landing on Rat.
I would have gotten there eventually, but we don't have time for that.
So that's what was on the Get Psyched mix. But the only song we hear is You Give Love a Bad Name. Yeah. We only hear the opening over and over again.
Yeah. That kind of the storyline revolves around Ted realizing that he's in love with Robin. Mary Beth, says to Ted, I could tell that you're in love with Robin this whole time, and I think she's in love with you. And, he's like, really? And so he's kind of happy to be able to kiss Robin, his true love, at midnight. And they actually do kiss at the end because they made an agreement at that roof party where they were drinking.
Oh, is that what they were referring
to? Yeah, I think that was it. Remember they had that special moment. They were sitting, they both had a terrible night, and they said, if we're not with someone, let's kiss on New Year's. Maybe.
I'm sure that's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they did kiss, and I guess Derek was still in the car, but she's like, oh, he took too long, because Derek,
he made me wait.
He had to work, but he eventually finds them in the limo. What else happened? So all the parties failed miserably, but they ended up all being together at midnight, which is what Ted wanted to begin with. There were some, sweet moments. Do you have anything to add? Did I miss anything big?
I don't think you missed anything big. I have just, you hit most of the things I was going to talk about. I liked that 2030 Ted has to explain to his children who Moby is, a popular recording artist at the time. And then I also like how... I guess we had a listener who wrote us into he said a number of things, but he wanted us to keep in mind that the whole story is from older Ted's point of view and his unreliable narrator. And so I thought about that when he refers to Moby as the, a popular recording artist at the time. And then later Robin says, Moby, the recording artist?
Yeah. Yeah. everything is through his lens. And I understand it's from Ted's perspective. He's telling this story.
I also really liked when they're going to Grace Papaya, but Lily's going to go home and
change shoes.
Mm-hmm. And they have that action/disaster movie moment where she's like, if I don't make it back by New Year's Eve, and he's like, no, we'll find our way back to each other. I like that. Also, I like they're both corny together.
But that moment where Bon Jovi's playing, and because of the car malfunctioning, there's like all kinds of like smoke from the car. And when Marshall like emerges through the smoke song.
Yes, that's right.
That was a very funny moment.
Yeah, Lily says, I'm going to call Marshall. Yeah. Like, oh, but Marshall left his phone. And she just stands out of the window.
Starts screaming. Marshall. Yeah.
And it goes throughout the scene. And then... Lily!
Yeah. And
then
he comes and he emerges through the smoke.
Yeah, to the Bon Jovi song you just said. Yeah, great, great moment. We'll talk more about that when we get to similarities and differences. So, why don't you tell me what your funniest moment was that I almost spoiled?
Okay. You do that one. So, one of my funniest ones was when Barney was talking about the Eastern European floozy, is what, you know.
Natalia.
Yeah, Natalia.
And did you feel some kinship because your names are so similar?
Yes, I did. She also has bad breath. That was, like, played as a joke. Barney was defending her because they left her at party number two. But he said, you know, she's new to the country.
She's a guest
here. Well, many might turn her back on her. I want to turn my front on her, which is so dumb and gross, but like my type of humor. By you turning your front on her, you're like having sex with her.
Yeah.
But it's just like a funny image. Like, that's not what sex is, but it's just like funny in Barney's mind, any opportunity to make some like dumb sex joke.
I'm glad you picked that one, because that was a contender for me too. I ended up picking the Ranjit one, but the one I was going to mention earlier was when Lily's gone and Marshall is like, you know, I want someone to kiss him in. I don't want to have to kiss Ranjit. And Ranjit goes, you don't know what you're missing.
Yeah. It's all about his delivery. Yeah. It's so perfect.
Which is why the one I actually chose is when we find out that they didn't leave Natalia at party two, she fell asleep in the front seat and Barney's like, Ranjit, why didn't you tell us? He says, I didn't want to wake her. She looked so peaceful.
Yeah. Yeah. Ranjit got some great lines. And just in the idea that they're like, okay, Moby's party. And Ranjit's like, all right, Moby's party. Like, he knows where it is.
He's a great driver, Ranjit.
Yeah.
Knows his way around the city.
Yeah.
Did you have any How I Met Your Mother but make it fashion?
Well, it's New Year's Eve, so the gals are wearing a lot of sparkly clothes. And I did like Lily's military style velvet jacket. It had like epaulets.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It was structured. And then she also had really uncomfortable, weird shoes that they kept touching the bottom of, which irks me so much in real life.
Yeah.
And now in TV shows, but don't touch the bottom of a shoe.
Yeah, that's, I didn't notice.
Baseline, don't be disgusting. But Ted did it. Marshall did it repeatedly.
Yeah, I feel like Mary Beth did it or something.
Yeah,
like,
everyone was touching their shoes.
I didn't even think about it.
You're walking around the city.
Yeah. But her shoes, that was my make it fashion. I don't like a lot of the fashions of their dressing up. I hated Mary Beth's dress. It was like a slip. Like, it
was, kind of had like a, was not cute either. Yeah. It was like a drop waist purple.
Yeah. Yeah. But I guess the thing I most liked were Lily's painful shoes that had like little, what do you call it? Like,
it was like embossed.
Yeah. Like flowers. Embroidered.
Yeah, it had like flowers, but like
flowers and stuff on
velvet.
Yeah.
I could see how they would be uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you been in that situation?
Uncomfortable shoes?
But I mean, like committing to a whole night and then like 10 minutes in being like, what was I thinking?
Absolutely. And then I said, I will never do that again. Like, no shoes will ever be cute enough for me to be uncomfortable. Right. Ever.
Yeah.
Never again.
At our wedding, you had comfortable shoes?
Yes. Good. I like made a point to like get flats. I wasn't about to wear heels. No heels.
Good. I'm glad you wore flats at our wedding. Made me look even taller.
Yeah, I'm very short, listeners.
Yeah, listeners don't know. I don't know if you sound short. You sound like a little lady.
I'm told that I sound larger than I am in real life.
I couldn't really pick out any running jokes or motifs in this episode as the How I Met Your Mother, I guess, expert. Not really an expert, but the more familiar one. There's nothing that really, other than I guess Ranjit showing up.
I was just going to say Ranjit, you know, them all being there, you know, Barney being a creep, Ted being an aloof idiot.
I like that we did get to see Sad Barney, but he was just sad about losing his Get Psyched mix CD.
Yeah, which they end up like finding, or Marshall finds it, right?
Yeah, Marshall steals it back from
Moby's party.
Moby, who signed the back of his shirt, it just says Eric.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a great scene. Okay, to get to, this will be like a sort of transition into similarities and differences.
Okay.
I talked about the joke writing on Friends, and this is not a slam on it, but being more classical, you know, there are setups and punchlines and stuff like that. The idea of, and I talked about this last week with the pineapple incident, about like Ted bringing up, did you know that karaoke means empty orchestra? And then we find out, because the show's told out of chronological order, we find out that he just learned that like
right.
2 minutes.
Yeah,
so
that is smart.
Here, I love the idea of them like, why did you say, hey, we said Moby and you said what? Why did you say? So I thought you said Tony. So your name's Tony? No. And I like that we don't find out what his name is until we get that payoff we weren't even expecting.
Right.
When Marshall pulls his shirt down, it says Eric.
Because if there's an opposite of Moby, it's Eric. But it's also funny that Marshall, like, I don't know, would you be able to feel? I don't know. I feel like if it's just four letters, you'd be able to tell. That it's
maybe,
not
maybe you
Moby.
Maybe you. I don't have sensitive shoulder blades.
Huh. Okay.
To get to other.
Another motif which surprised me is, they weren't drinking the whole time in the limo until midnight.
This was in my similarities and differences of the two shows.
Yeah. The Friends were doing shots.
Had people getting
yes,
drunk.
Yes, I had the same thing. So it was a little switcheroo. Because the whole time they were driving around the limo, I was like, if you have a designated driver and you're in a limo,
and you're getting five parties.
You're drinking the whole time.
Yeah.
You're going to pre-party, waiting. You're in traffic, you're going to drink. So it was strange that, yeah, Friends were doing tequila shots and yeah. I Met Your Mother crew.
I think we can assume that Natalia got drunk and that's why she passed out and looked so peaceful in the passenger seat.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Other comparisons, and this one, some of these I kind of thought of as we were talking just now, but... comparing Joey versus Barney as horn dogs and how Joey, as we were talking about, is already displaying a heart and more
a horn dog with a heart of gold.
Yeah. And Barney, I mean, not to give too much away, that's coming,
yeah.
But it's at this point in the show, it's very much, Barney is still very much a caricature.
Right. Yeah.
Both shows had cold weather scenes, mm-hmm. had scenes where I was concerned for women who were in the cold, like
yeah.
when Phoebe and Monica go just running down the street to run to the the coma guy, go to the hospital, it was like they need to put on their coats. And then similarly, when Mary Beth stands up out of the first person we see stand up out of the
limo,
the
sunroof,
yes, is Mary Beth in her little like slip of a dress, and I was like, oh, she must be cold. And
yeah.
Good on Kathleen Rose Perkins, she acted cold.
Yeah.
In that moment.
Yeah, and in Friends, when they're like taking care, quote unquote, of the coma guy, they're reading him the paper, and they said it was 44 degrees, high of 44 degrees in New York City.
Oh, so, which is probably warmer than I would have thought for December.
But yeah,
December.
Warm enough for hats and scarves.
Yeah. Yeah, wait. No, January. Because we already had
January,
the,
New Year's Eve.
Yes. Well, we'll get to, and how are we doing when I talk about what days these actual.
How do you feel about New Year's Eve as a holiday?
I mean, I feel like you and I have traditions that I think work. So it works.
It's still my least favorite.
I don't know. I like, because you and I tend to go to like an early dinner and drinks with a larger group of friends, then they go off to their parties and we have a smaller group of
gathering.
Friends that,
yeah.
that hang out at someone's home. Like, I don't think I've been to a bar on New Year's Eve since 2008.
Well, yeah, because they all have
2008 into 2009.
That was the hospital one.
Yeah, that was, you and I had been on only a couple of dates, literally just two dates.
Yeah.
Because our second date was on Christmas Day, 2008, which is weird, but a sweet moment.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was in Pasadena at, like, a hotel bar and then went to the, what's that, like, weird hidden bar in Pasadena? It's called, like, the Old Town Pub. You have to, like, walk in between the alley to get back there.
I don't know that.
It's called something like that. Anyway, so I was like at a hotel bar and then the Old Town Pub, and I was like, I'm gonna text Natalie. Like, we've been on a couple dates. I think things are going well. I'm gonna text her Happy New Year. Never heard back from you. It was kind of like salty about it. And then tell the listeners why I never heard back from you that night.
So I spent New Year's Eve in the hospital on Sunset, Kaiser Emergency Room, because my friend Catherine on the dance floor at Shortstop, like, got a little crazy and someone flung her, like, she flung herself basically over someone's shoulders.
She, like, and, like, tried to jump on someone's back and overshot?
Overshot, kind of like a leapfrog gone wrong, and knocked her teeth out.
Oof.
And, like, bit down on her. Yeah. So we were in the hospital waiting room at midnight.
So you had better things on your, more important things on your mind than texting back the boy you'd been on two dates with.
I should have. I was just sitting there. But maybe at that point it was the wrong still time hectic to text. But yeah. When I did I call you that night and tell you?
I don't think I got the full story until we went on our third date.
So that's a huge bummer, because, like, you go into the new year, I guess you're not too worried about it. We're, like, just dating. Days, yeah.
But yeah, I was
you're kind of... You're not a Ted.
Yeah, exactly. But I was kind of like, oh, I thought things were going well. But then, yeah, you told me, like, oh, I'll tell you the story. And then, like, we made a plan for a third date, which was... I remember our first three dates so well. Our third date, but although I am forgetting the name of the sushi place on Vermont, just north of the public house.
Yeah. It's Nico? Like
Nico?
Nico Nico. Nico.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We went to Nico Nico, and then we went to the drawing room for the first time.
Yeah.
And then you and I spent so much time of our first, like, year and a half dating at the drawing room.
Yeah.
But I think our third date was the first time we went to the drawing room together.
Yeah.
I think I got the whole story in Nico Nico that night. Anyway, that's enough behind the scenes, I think.
That's fun.
On,
as a holiday, New Year's Eve, not my favorite in general.
I look forward to it, because if God forbid I were single again, right, I would probably dread it. But you and I have traditions that I enjoy.
Yeah.
And so I look forward to doing those things.
I think so too. I don't like the pressure to, like, have fun and spend a shit ton of money and then, like, get drunk and then feel terrible on the first day of the year. Like, it just doesn't...
I don't feel terrible. You just sleep in.
I can't do that.
Yeah, you can't do that. Yeah, that's right.
I don't do that.
Yeah. As long as I get... If I have a bunch of water and I'm able to get a solid sleep, it doesn't matter how much I drank or what time I went to bed, generally.
Yeah.
It's changing as I get older.
We're getting older. Yeah.
Like... sensitive. But back to similarities and differences, I wanted to talk about, and this is me, okay, now halfway we're literally halfway through the first season, at least of How I Met Your Mother. I think there are more episodes of Friends. But now we're getting to the point where I'm having the opinions I thought I'd have. Like, so much early on, so much was about, like, oh, I'm surprised by how much I like Friends. Mm-hmm. And I still am surprised by how much I like Friends. But I think when you see the commitment and the level of care and ingenuity and excitement about storytelling,
mm-hmm,
How I Met Your Mother, yeah, is like just head and shoulders above what Friends are doing. It's not just,
I agree,
three acts setup joke, like, and again, there's room for that kind of thing, but the way that they're moving the pieces together, intentionally separating them, mm-hmm, and then bringing them back together, right, it's that this episode is like a mini movie.
Right.
You know, it has all these beats. It gets to a sense of grandeur, and sometimes, like we talked about with the, like, no, we'll find our way back to each other. Sometimes it's intentionally, like, sort of winky, but I think by the end, you mentioned Marshall coming through the fog,
yeah,
you know, or like them, like, there's, as much as we talk about Ted being a douche, that moment when they're counting down and then it cuts to outside the car and Ted closes the door and sets his champagne on top of the limo while they're all saying Happy New Year inside. Like,
yeah,
that's a poignant moment.
And
like, Friends has not gotten to that kind of visual storytelling and commitment. Sorry.
No, it's also like advanced storytelling, as you know, there are callbacks to previous plot points,
right?
You know, it's thoughtful, like the whole thing about Robin and,
right,
Ted,
yeah,
you know, and the viewer is made to love this show, so like recalls that, remembers it, and you know,
yeah, you're rewarded for caring about the show.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So yeah, I think the writing is much more dynamic, and I feel like a writer's room at How I Met Your Mother is probably like a better job than a writer. Well, I mean, not money wise, obviously, but just a more enriching experience.
So does this lead? This leads us into playing favorites. Are we on the same page? Do we both enjoy The Limo more than the one with Mrs. Bing?
Yeah, I think I do.
All right.
I do. And even though, you know, New Year's Eve is not my favorite holiday, I do like a holiday or a destination episode. Our neighbor just got pizza.
Is the pizza guy stomping up the stairs?
Yeah.
Is that what that, like,
no, that was a knock on the door. That was a knock on the glass.
Oh, no, it's you.
Oh, sorry.
You're... I'm not going to tell the listener what you're doing. You're embarrassed.
No, yeah.
But you were shaking the table
yeah,
there.
Yeah, sorry.
All right. Well, then that leads us to my favorite segment to introduce, at least. How were we doing? In which we look at what was happening in the world on the days these episodes aired. On Thursday, January 5th, 1995... Well, first off, before we can get to this, I asked you what you were doing New Year's Eve 2005. Any idea what you were doing New Year's Eve 1994?
No.
Yeah. My best guess at that
maybe
age...
Maybe a sleepover? Okay. Depending on the day of the week, I guess.
But either way, you're off the next day. It's not like you have to go
That's
to school.
True.
You don't go
true.
To school on January 1st.
Right. Maybe at a sleepover, slumber party.
What I'm guessing is down the street from where I lived, there was a family, shout out to the Leonards. You've met the Leonards.
Oh, yeah. I love the Leonards.
They hosted a neighborhood New Year's Eve party every year. And it was like all the adults and all the kids. And it'd be like
fun.
Sparklers in the backyard. And
such a like taste of Americana.
Yeah. But probably also like my parents getting drunk because they knew that...
They could. You're safe.
Literally, you have to cross the street and walk two houses up.
Yeah, like, that's brilliant.
It's a safe way home. So I'm guessing that we were at the Leonard's house on New Year's Eve when I was 12.
That's fun. Did you have fun at those kind of parties?
Probably not.
Yeah.
You know what I would do at those parties? I would,
watch
because
movies.
The Leonards had cable and we didn't, I would watch like MTV's
Countdown.
New Year's Eve Countdown.
Yep. Yep.
Because I couldn't watch that at home.
It would be like a TRL.
This is pre-TRL, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, this was like a big part, like, because I was not a social kid at all. Large gatherings of like friends and family.
Not your scene.
Usually, if possible, it was me finding a bedroom with a TV with cable and hiding for as until my mom like found me and was like,
get out
there,
there
you are, get out there and socialize. Yeah,
go hang out with your cousins.
Yeah, that's exactly. So okay, but back to how are we doing on Thursday, January 5th, 1995. A big thing that happened in the world: Prince Charles photographed kissing his children's nanny on the Swiss ski slopes. So this is a little bit of season 5 of The Crown, preview of what we're going to see next year. I was trying to remember if they've announced who's playing Prince Charles in the new season. But anyway, that's what happened.
I definitely wouldn't have paid attention. I didn't care about the royals.
Yeah, neither did I. And also, you and I are very young. Do you know who Tara Mazzacote is?
No.
She's a YouTube star, and she was born on January 5th, 1995.
Huh.
All right. Well, that one's fun. I mean, obviously not for the, you know, House of Windsor, the Mountbattens. Not
right.
a fun
right.
day for them. But once again, now we get to the day that The Limo aired, which is Monday, December 19th, 2005. So again, like, we're out of pay. Like, Friends is ahead of How I Met Your Mother. I'm sure it'll catch up in a little bit. But there's less fun stuff that happened this day. It's a lot of bummer stuff, a lot of it having to do with the first post-invasion elections in Iraq were happening.
Mm-hmm.
It had happened previously, yep. or just shortly before. There was like a plane crash. It's not a great time.
No.
Top 5 songs in the USA. still Chris Brown is up there. Mariah Carey, Don't Forget About Us. D. Pharrell, Laffy Taffy. Nelly, Grills, which I don't even remember Grills. I think that was like off of like... Do you remember Nelly had a... like? It was two separate albums called Sweatsuit. One was called Sweat and one was called Suit. And Sweat was like the party songs and Suit was like the lovers, like fancy songs. So I wonder if Girls is off of Sweat.
That sounds right, yeah.
But Sweatsuit might have been earlier than 2005. I'm a St. Louis and I should know more about Nelly, but really I know country grammar and then
it's really a fun here. Concept.
Sweatsuit?
Yeah.
And the fifth song on the list was, why did I scroll away from that? Photograph by Nickelback. It's been the same thing. Every week. The Time magazine cover for December 19, 2005 was the best photos of 2005, and it was that one of those things where it's a photo made of a bunch of photos.
Yeah.
Which
it was a face of Marilyn Monroe made up of.
Yeah.
Hundreds of tiny photos.
Oh man, I keep like scrolling down. This list is like longer than I realized. There's more stuff to it, including. Do you know what book was on the bestseller list in 2005? James Frey's A Million Little Pieces. Before we knew
the true story. Was,
despite being billed as a memoir, it was lies.
Right.
Lies, damned lies.
Yep. Did you read it?
No, I didn't.
Me neither.
Do you know they made a movie of it like recently?
Yeah,
it's so weird.
I think I heard that.
But I get like it's just like why I've always been torn on this thing of a million little. What is it? A million little pieces? And like Oprah, like calling him on the carpet and making him apologize on her show. There's a part of me that's like,
who cares?
If you read the book and it meant something to you,
right?
Is that changed because it was embellished or falsified? Like the writing, the prose or whatever is still the same,
right? And I think there's a lot of like publishing companies who. They change a lot about, you know, like whether it's in like editing or the art or, you know, change this or change that. Like how much. Yeah, I'm not too bothered by it.
I'm not. But then also because isn't a lot of it about like addiction?
Addiction. Yeah.
So then the other side of the story is if you're an addict and you hear this supposedly true story of someone's like inspiring battle with addiction.
Right.
That might actually feel like an insult to find out.
Totally.
So I try to put myself in those shoes as well.
Right. And if he comes out and says, this is my story, like a blatant lie, like that's not right.
Yeah. I still think the idea of Oprah making him go on the show and apologize is kind of funny.
Yeah.
All right. And then our next segment is called Challenge Accepted. So first, let's see. Again, you were killing me at these. Despite Friends literally saying what the episode is about in the title, I always get it wrong and you keep getting it right. So my prediction was that the one with Mrs. Bing, what would happen is that someone was going to be mistaken for Chandler's wife and he was not going to correct them for whatever, because it was some sort of beneficial thing to him or them. But that's not what happened.
Right.
You predicted that the story of the limo was that Ted rents a limo to impress someone and it doesn't go well.
Which is
essentially what happened. Once again,
I guess he's trying to impress his friends.
Yeah, but also Robin in particular.
Right.
And it doesn't go well because Derek shows up, but then it kind of does go well for him a little bit, but still.
But yeah, that's a point.
That's definitely a point for you. So now, let's make our predictions.
Okay.
For season one, seasons one, episodes 12 of Friends and How I Met Your Mother. The Friends episode is called The One with the Dozen Lasagnas. I'm going to say that Monica... It's a cheat to just say Monica cooks a dozen lasagnas. I have to, like, have some sort of prediction as to why she cooks a dozen lasagnas.
Just a little bit. It doesn't have to be too specific.
But here's what I have to predict.
Who makes the lasagna and why?
I'm already predicting Monica. My thing is she baking? Okay, here's gonna be my prediction.
Okay.
She's not baking a dozen lasagnas because she needs a dozen lasagnas. It takes her 12 turn times to get it right. Something keeps... I'm going to say there's going to be some sort of, like, comedy of errors in which her lasagnas keep getting ruined.
Okay.
Because of something like Rachel losing a ring in a lasagna, which already happened.
Right.
Okay. Rachel cooks 12... Monica cooks 12 lasagnas until she gets one right. Okay. So Friends... I suddenly got paranoid that I accidentally just looked at episode 13, not 12. That was... No, yeah, 12
okay.
is the one with a dozen lasagna. Sorry, I got paranoid there. How I Met Your Mother, season 1, episode 12... It's called The Wedding.
Okay. Okay. Let's see. The Wedding. Okay. Like a friend that they went to college with is getting married. So the gang... Come down, Darla. The gang is going to a wedding and Ted is going to... He's going stag to this wedding and meets a woman at the wedding who he falls for.
You got a vamp while I'm typing.
Oh, okay. It's just like, I know I'm new to this whole podcast.
Okay, so I wrote, a college friend is getting married, the gang goes, Ted goes stag and meets a new love interest.
Yeah.
I feel like you don't, that's like three predictions. I feel like Ted goes to a wedding, stag, and meets a new love interest is...
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Because you don't want that to happen, but it turns out the rest of the gang didn't go and you missed the guess, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to overcomplicate
it. I guess it doesn't matter.
You're not Howie in Uncut Gems having a four-part bet that relies on Kevin Garnett winning the opening tip-off.
Yes, I'm definitely not that. yeah. I guess I was just trying to, like, create... the idea.
Yeah, you're
head.
Walking us through the story, which I like, but I'm just saying your prediction can just be the...
Yeah.
Ted goes...
Yeah.
Okay, Ted goes to a
wedding
stag and meets a new love interest.
Yes.
Okay. Well then, I think we wrapped up talking about seasons one, episodes 11 of Friends and How I Met Your Mother, respectively the one with Mrs. Bing and the limo. We just talked about what we'll talk about next week. In the meantime, you can find this podcast wherever you find podcasts. You can find it at battleshippretension.com. You can find my other writing and my other podcast at battleshippretension.com. You can email us at theonewhereimetyourmother@gmail.com. We would love to... there's so many ways that people have been like tweeting me. You could tweet me at Davey Pretension.
Yeah.
I've gotten feedback on the show from tweets. I've gotten feedback on the show on Facebook. I've gotten it in comment sections of BattleshipRetention.com, which I very much I do encourage. Yeah. But almost no one has actually emailed.
Yeah.
We've gotten like one email.
Yeah, email us.
Email the one where I met your mother at gmail.com with your thoughts. But I also do like the comments on the website because it shows it's a more public way of fan engagement, you know. You're not just talking to us, you're talking to anyone else who looks at that page. So that's nice. But that's where you can find us. Natalie, there's nowhere in particular you want people to look for you?
No, but use email. Let us know what you think. Any suggestions, thoughts, feedback, we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it under advisement.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to change things just because one listener
says... Oh, hell no.
Well, I guess that's it then.
Until next time, farewell, friends and mothers.